I want to ask you guys a serious question this morning. Is that okay? Oh, one of you. All right. Raja. I want to ask you guys a serious question. You ready? Say ready.
Ready.
It's up on the screen. Is your attendance here this morning worth it?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I guess I'll be okay. All right. But let me change it around. Like, you guys could do something else this morning. You guys could be somewhere else this morning. Like, you guys could be watching football this morning. I could be watching football this morning, right? We could be sleeping in a little longer for some of us who have more than one child. Can I get a witness, right? We could be doing other things. Is this morning worth it?
Amen.
Oh, amen. Well, then let me ask you a deeper question. And I don't even want you to answer it, because you may be embarrassed after what I say in it, okay? I just want you to check your heart when I answer this. You guys ready? It's on the screen. Is Jesus worth it? Is Jesus worth it? Here's the context of this question. Is Jesus worth the life of your spouse? Is Jesus worth the life of your children? Oh, deeper thoughts now, right? Is Jesus worth your own life? Is Jesus worth all the grief, all the pain, all the confusion, all the discouragement, all the heartache, all the depression, all the mixed emotions? Is Jesus worth it? And some of you say yes, but 90% of Christians in America would never share about Jesus. 90% of Christians would not tithe to the mission of Christ. 90% of Christians will only show up once in a while to the gatherings of the saints. 90% of Christians here in America will never go on a mission further than their city. 90% of Christians will be okay with just staying in their community for all their life, never even knowing their next door neighbor, and then alone share the gospel with them. Is Jesus worth it? Is Jesus worth it? Well, I want to share a theme verse today. We kicked off a series called Illuminate last week. Thank you, Kahu Marcus, for kicking that off. And I want to give you our theme passage from the chapter of Acts. If you're new to us, we are a expository preaching church. That means we preach books of the Bible verse by verse. At times, we're not against topical messages. We'll go through a season and go on topical messages. But we feel for the body of Christ to understand theology, correct teaching, they need to understand verse by verse teaching through the Word of God. And what better yet to be in the book called Acts? Acts 13 verse 47. Would you stand with me in the reading of God's Word? It says this: "For so the Lord has commanded us, saying," help me out, "I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." God, I pray that hearts will be changed today. Not by my eloquent speech, not by my funny jokes, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. And Father, I pray that people would be convicted, challenged, encouraged, inspired, and ultimately changed because of your word. God, we love you, and God's Ohana says, amen. You may be seated. Last week, my family and I went to East Texas, Tyler, Texas. And as we walked into this big, massive church, over 6,000 people in there, all right? One thing I realized besides being in a big church is that majority of the people in there were old. Like for real, old, right? In fact, so old, they had a special service for so old people, okay? No, for real. Like, the music was like, was polished, bro. Like, it had hymns, had all the old songs and all that, but it was nice and polished, TV screens all over the place. But then there was another worship gathering upstairs with another 1,000 people in it, in their big auditorium, and the music was more similar to our style of music. It was big. It was huge. But you know what I missed last week? I missed being with you guys. Like, I miss fellowship with you all. I miss worship with you all. I miss being like I can joke sometimes, and on the flip side, I can be serious with you guys. You know what I'm saying? I miss my context, which God taught me a great lesson at that point, that my context is not somebody else's context. But at the same time, my God is in that different context. Watching people worship in their context, watching people enjoy their context, reminded me, man, I'm blessed in my context here in Hilo. And I am encouraged to be one of your kahus, specifically your teaching kahu. And most of all, I'm encouraged that the church is finally looking like Jesus. So today's message is not about me. Today's message is not about you. Today's message is about Jesus, all right? And as we read in our text today, last week, if you weren't with us, last week we learned that there's this big theological understanding of the church. Say that with me, the church, right? The word church in the Greek is the word ekklesia, all right? But ekklesia, out of the English translation, means the called out ones, right? And what we've seen in the area of missiology, the study of missions, that for people to be sent on mission, they need to be connected with a local church. Like, you know why the church is so important? Number one, because Jesus what? Died for the church. So there's people we spirit Christians, all right? Free spirit Christians are like your modern day hippies, all right? They just go wherever the Spirit leads them apart from the church. So I believe, and we understand this in this church, every missionary, all right, which is every one of you in this room, if you go to a different location, you must be sent out by a local church. Amen. For two reasons, encouragement and accountability. We have a lot of young missionaries doing their own thing. For instance, one of the big things that's happening in this culture and age is that young missionaries who go to these organized mission organizations are having sex with everybody in the name of Jesus. No, for real. That's what's happening right now. We see the stat is raising that there is no holiness driven and all that. And so because they're not connected with a church, but more than with an organization that's a part of a church, nobody can encourage them or be accountable for them. Listen to me. You have to be a part of a local church. The TV can only do so much for you. Right? I remember one point in my life when I wasn't a pastor anymore. Around 6 months, I started enjoying my couch. And I would listen to all these different preachers on TV, and I would be so judgmental about their preaching style. And here am I, not being in fellowship with the church. You need the church. The church needs you. And for anyone out of here to be sent out, maybe to start another church in this city or to go to somewhere else across the world, you need to be sent out by a local church that have qualified elders, all right, leaders of the church, that allows you to be in connection with God's fellowship. That's the way Jesus set it up, right? You guys say, wow, that's too confusing. No, it's not. My offensive lineman will not throw the football like the quarterback. He's going to block for the what? The quarterback. There is a system in place. That's why church is so good. But the church is a building, amen. The church is people, amen. But it's kind of weird that you never gather with people in the church context. With worshiping God. Oh, but I inu over here. I smoke pakalolo here. Here's the deal. If you have bad habits, that's the reality. That's why you need the church. Oh, only some of you got that, right? If you got bad habits, like me, all right, I got bad habits, right? You need the church for encouragement, inspiration, and here's the hard one, correction. Now, we love Jesus when he gives us stuff. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen? Yes. Amen? But Jesus is another story when he potty us just a little bit, right? This church will be a church that corrects and that also loves. And if we really love each other, we'll correct one another. in love. Does that make sense? So as we look at this text today, we see a huge context of Paul and Barnabas being sent out their missionary journey. This is the first missionary journey we see account in all of Scripture for specifically Paul, who once were a Pharisee that killed Christians for a living. This brother used to kill Christians for a living, and now he is a Christian, and he's saving Christians for a living. You see that? God does stuff like that. That's the reality. So as we look at today's text, I want us to read from verse 4 to verse 12, and it says this in verse 4 to verse 12. So being sent out by the what? Holy Spirit. Who sends us out? The Holy Spirit. But through who? Through Jesus, but through... God, it's getting so spiritual. Physically, through the church, right? Through the church. We see that in the first three verses. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to the island Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Remember that, in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had John to assist them. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. I mean, that just don't mix Bar and Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Then after he goes, he was with the proconsul. Some of you was late on that one, all right? Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, Bar-Jesus, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But, everybody say, but. But Saul, who was also called, say that word with me for the first time, Paul, filled with the who? Holy Spirit, look intently into him. All right? Ooh, a jitter right there. Chicken skin. And said, you son of the devil, you enemy of all unrighteousness. Not some, all. Full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time. Man, that is some manna right there. Can I get a witness, huh? You guys hear what we're reading, huh? There's some power in these words. He goes on then, and he says, immediately, not casually, not down the road. It says, immediately, mist and darkness fell upon him. And he went about seeking people to lead him, what? By the hand. Woo! Then the proconsul believed. When he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Here's one major point that we know about Paul and Barnabas. You ready? Say, I'm ready. Jesus is worth everything. Jesus is worth everything. In fact, when you value something, you put all your efforts in that something or individual, right? Let me. We cool, right? Everybody in this room, we cool, right? Yeah. No, for real, we cool, yeah? Okay, I'm going to show you something. Don't make fun of me, okay, and all that. Hey, let me show you one picture real quick, okay? Here's a picture, all right? When you see this picture, I want you to be nice about this picture, okay? Because it is an illustration. It's coming up right about. Let's see it. All right? This picture. Okay, be quiet. You said we cool. You guys all lied. This picture is a demonstration of someone worthwhile for me. I mean, that Hale Wahine right there. It's like God shoot 10,000 volts of electricity in me, okay? And I'm still alive. All right? Now, here's the funny thing. Growing up, I never liked Hollies. I was prejudiced. I was your typical local boy. I was prejudiced. All right? Then Jesus changed my heart. And then Jesus made almost like a joke. And now I'm married one Holly, okay? Which has been the best thing of my life next to Jesus, okay? But that's a picture of a day that I can remember for the rest of my life. That girl right there, that Wahina right there, she's worth it. She's worth all the different cultural experience for this Hawaiian boy. She's worth all the different things in her life, even, you know, leaving toothpaste around and all that stuff. And I leave stuff around too, okay? She's worth it all. Hey, for Barnabas, for Paul, Jesus was worth it all for them. So much, right? So much that they didn't just stay in Antioch, as Kahu Marcus preached about last week. They moved radically because their goal was to see people see the worth of Christ in their heart. Are you with me? Say yes. Here's some background we know about Cyprus. Cyprus was an island off modern-day Turkey. The Greek god Zeus was highly worshipped there. Its name means copper because it produces copper. That's where their wealth came from. It was one time ruled over by the Britons in the Crusade era. History tells us that Christianity became famous on that specific island, and it was pushed out because Christianity presented a threat to the locals and natives there, and specifically those who were in power. We see Paul and Barnabas come face to face with an unengaged location of believers, meaning there is no believers here on that island. Now, we can't say that for Hilo, right? We have a lot of churches going on. What if you went to some place like Southeast Asia, the Middle East, and you went there, you wouldn't see churches on every corner. You wouldn't see all that. And the video we saw was a demonstration of that. Not everybody around this world know who Jesus is. And so Paul and Barnabas has this heart for the gospel to advance beyond Antioch. So I want us to see how these brothers saw Jesus as worth it. Are you ready? Number one, two results that happens when Jesus is worth everything. Number one, we preach with boldness. I am never going to be a pastor that tickle your ears. Every week I will address sin because sin is the issue. Tell your neighbor that. Sin is the issue. Like you, if you want to be inspired and feel better about your sin, you go to a different church. No, for real. This church is going to grow the right way. Amen. It's not going to grow all on feel, goo, goo, ga, feelings. If you got junk in your life, in the name of Jesus, be stripped out right now. Be open about it. If there's anything we've taught at this church, be open about your opala. Be open. I'm going to be open about it. I stand here as a man, convinced that because of my sin, that's what separates me from a holy God. But I stand here not just as a man, but as a redeemed man, that because of Jesus, because of Christ, like Paul and Barnabas, there is a way out from our condemnation of sin. The gospel. That's the reality. The gospel. The gospel changes. The gospel, it transforms. The gospel is the only truth that tells me straight up, Zeke, this is who you are apart from me, a sinner ready to go to hell. But thank God for the gospel. It tells me, but you don't have to be there. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to act like that. Jesus came so we might be free from it, not temporarily, but forever. Amen. That's the gospel. And it gives us this clear picture. So as we look at what it means to preach boldly, look at verse 5. It says, when they arrive at Salamis, which is a coastline off that island, they proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had John to assist them. Here's some background about that. The synagogue of the Jews, okay? Where did Christianity come from? Everybody remember? The synagogue of the Jews. Christianity evolved out of Jewish beliefs. In fact, Jews today, we call just traditional Jews, they believe in the Messiah. They just don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. Now, there's another form of Jews called Messianic Jews who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Jews still believe in the Old Testament, right? From all the way from Genesis to, what is the last one? Malachi, right? We see that they believe in that. But the Messianic Jews believe also in the New Testament. So there's some cultural connections going on right now as we speak in our text today. How many of you knew that? How many of you knew that Christianity came out of Jewish faith? This is big. Why is this big? Because what's happening is Paul and Barnabas is strategically intertwining two different platforms, and the commonality is that they're both Jews. For instance, the first day of football practice is one of the roughest because not everybody knows each other. But what is commonality is the game of football. By the end of the season, at the last game, everybody's crying, hugging each other's necks, kissing each other, right? And all that. Why? Because there's a commonality. It's the sport of football. Let's put that with any other topic. Construction, where you work, whatever the case is. What happens, there is a commonality in every aspect of life where the gospel is presented and people receive. Are you with me? So Paul and Barnabas, these strategic brothers, use the culture of the Jewish synagogue to proclaim the gospel. Are you with me? Amen. All right. So bold preaching, all right, is in direct connection with me and specifically this Ina. When God called us to plant a church, be honest with you, we was going to plant in Tennessee. And God did some things to orchestrate that differently. And he said, boy, go back home. Why? Because my connection was with the Hawaiian connection. Hawaiian by blood, Hawaiian by grew up here, but not just the Hawaiians, but the local people around here. And so God just like use the platform of your the area you grew up with for the gospel to advance. So many of you, let me put some hands up here so that we can identify this text. Many of you who knew me when I was a little boy, raise your hand in this room. Right? There's a few of you, yeah? Many of you who knew me the last 3 years, raise your hand, right? So there's a connection in the relationship aspect. Does that make sense? That's how the gospel is going to advance, guys. The gospel will advance as we connect in those areas that God has placed us strategically. Here's a reality truth for all of us. Every connection we have is God's way of revealing himself to others through Christ. Come on, that should be glory out there in that stand seats. Huh? Read it with me. 1, 2, 3. Every connection we have is God's way of revealing himself to others through Christ. Even those Opala people. Amen. Some of you be like, yeah, that person sitting right next to me, Kahu. You know what I'm saying? Right? Even that, right? That's the case. Hey, here's the deal. We went to an evangelism conference yesterday, and here's the deal. We can We can confuse evangelism. What does evangelism mean? It just means to share the gospel with lost people, right? Here's the deal. If we reduce evangelism to a step one, step two, step three, and step four format, we reduce the organic relationship aspect of the day. Like leading someone to Christ is not like selling a car. Right? Any one of you bought a car from a dealer? Right? Right, oh, okay, some of you stole it, I guess. Okay, all right. Right, here's the case, okay? So here's the deal. When you go to a dealership, right? And we're at the dealership, the salesman comes and he does all his thing and all that. And his goal, he says, I want to help you out. No, he wants to help him out. I mean, that's me too. If I was like that, that's what I'm going to do. I've got to help myself out too. But the reality is this. When we're leading people to Christ, it is a process. So we're not big in this church about cold call evangelism. We're not big. I want to tell you that. That's why we don't do a lot of altar calls at the end of service. Because we believe that it's about relationships. And relationship is a process, right? It's just like marriage. Hopefully many of you who are about to get married and just going to jump right into marriage, you're going to get to know the person. You're going to build relationships, right? And all that. Hopefully, right? By God's grace, I pray that's the case. That's the same way like leading people to Christ. It's a process, and we cannot put a timetable on process. We cannot. All right? This understanding should make us be better. Hear what Luke 4 says about this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to what? Proclaim. That's the word of being bold. Be bold with the good news to the poor. He has sent me to what again? Say that again. Proclaim, another word for boldness, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight in the blind, to set at liberty those who are what? Oppressed. To what again? Say that word again. Proclaim in the year of the Lord's favor. God has not called you to preach a seeker-sensitive message. God has called you to preach a harsh message. Why? Because cannot be good news a part of people understanding the harsh news. Every one of you in this room, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you took your last breath today, you would go to hell. Now, I love you, and that's why I say that to you. But here's the deal. You don't have to go there. But the gospel is bigger than just leaving hell. It's also about knowing who Jesus truly is. Not just Savior, but say it with me, Lord. So here's the big question, right? Why are we not bold like Paul and Barnabas? Why is 90% of Christians who call themselves evangelical not evangelistic? Does that hit you today? Why does 90% of Christians who grew up in the church, who raised in the church, married in the church, died in the church, whatever the case is, will never share their faith? I'm going to give you one big reason. You ready? Because they have not heard the real gospel. This is what I hear most of the time in America. You ready? If you don't want to go to hell today, all you have to do, that's a problem already, all you have to do is say this prayer after me. Anybody remember that? Yeah? Even the televangelist, if you're on the other side of the screen, all right, and you want to know Jesus, just say this prayer after me. You guys remember that? Oh, some of you grew up in church like me. If you want to be saved from your sin, all you have to do is walk down this aisle, come in with the pastor, and we will lead you to Christ. Here's the reality. Is all of those things bad? No. But what you do does not save you. And what he does on the cross for you and I, in his burial, in his resurrection, that saves you. We don't trust in what we do, because in and of himself, I am the problem. I'm the issue. Lord, save me from me. Amen. Right? But we have those conversations in our own mind, right? If that bug would tell me something one more time. I wish he would. Sister, come here. Come here, yeah? I wish he would. Here's the deal. The reason why we're not bold about our faith is that we don't have the same love for people that Christ has for us. You heard me? The reason why we aren't bold about our faith is because we don't have the same love for people that Christ has for us. How do I know that? Look what the Bible says. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still, say it with me, sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, you should know it. For God so what? Loved the world. That he what? He gave his only son. That whoever believes in him should not perish. But let's stop, stop right there. But there's people perishing every day without Jesus. But have eternal life. 1 John 4:10 says this, in this is love, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. Another word for propitiation is substitute for us. You deserve that cross. I deserved that cross. Y'all deserved that cross. But in God's love and his sovereign will, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin and was crucified for you and I. That should make us live better. That should make us proclaim the gospel with all boldness. Why? Because of Jesus. Because what is this? Psalms 118 says this, the Lord is on my side. Can I get a witness there, right? Yeah. Come on, y'all. The Lord is on my side. Amen. I will not, say that with me, fear. What can man do to me? That Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you within what? Everlasting love. Therefore, I continued my faithfulness to you. Can I get some praise up in this room? Come on. That should jack you up. Here's a reality truth for every one of us. Being bold in sharing Christ is not a matter of how smart or intellectual you are. The only way we are capable to share the love of Christ is that we have experienced it firsthand and we can't hold it back. Amen. Why aren't we sharing the gospel? Because we haven't experienced the gospel. Why is it so hard to preach to these Hawaiians, Filipinos, Chinese, Spanish, whatever mixed plate you are in this room, the gospel, and they're not living it out? Sin. Sin. And so we got to be bold and we got to confront sin. But listen to me. As we confront sin, do it in love. Listen, there's some of you cannot handle this because you've probably never been convicted of your sin. And so the Holy Spirit is exposing some junk in your life right now. It's like if I was, I went to the courtroom on chains because I was convicted of murder. The judge sees me. All the witnesses are there to account for my murder situation. And the judge comes in and says, well, you are guilty, doomed. Here's your sentence. Every one of you in this room is guilty. And until you confess that guiltiness, hold on, let's even back up further. Until the Holy Spirit impresses on your heart the guiltiness of your sin, it's only by then you will truly change and turn from your wicked ways. You want to be changed? Say yes. And hang out with people that love the gospel. Hang out with people that will love you to the beauty of Christ. You want to be changed? Say yes. Yes. Then stop being part-time Christians. You want to be changed? Please say yes. Yes. Then be honest. Don't try to make things up. You're talking to a brother that is, man, I can make things up all day. They called me the instigator in high school. No, for real. I would start scraps and I would dip out, you know. You know, that's the deal I did. Sometimes I still go that way. Here's the reality. I need people like you to help me stay in check. I need those 5 coaches I talk about every month to keep me in check. That's the reality. Here's my last point. When Jesus is everything to us, we rebuke with boldness. Now, rebuke may be a new word for some of you guys, so let me define it. Rebuke is to confront and correct ungodly behavior that intimidates or confuses the work of Christ for the sake of Christ. Say that with me. 1, 2, 3. To confront
and correct ungodly behavior that intimidates or confuses the work of Christ for the sake of Christ.
Are you with me? Rebuke. How many of you in this room, in the name of Jesus, has ever been rebuked? Okay, we're getting sorry. Well, let's get a little bit more personal then. How many of you in the last 3 months, in the name of Jesus, have been rebuked? Okay. How many of you in today have been rebuked? Hey, here's the deal. Being rebuked is a sign of God's favor. You need correction. I need correction, right? Let's talk about this. Brother Paul comes in front of this guy he never met in his life till now, named Bar Jesus, okay? AKA Elymas, right? I'd rather stick with Bar Jesus, all right? Sounds more manly. And he says this in verse 8. Look at it. But Elymas the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, Bar Jesus, opposed Paul and Barnabas, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. It's like a comedian coming up on the stage, saying his joke, and everybody in the crowd is heckling him, right? You guys ever seen that? No, you guys good people. You guys don't watch comedian stuff, right? No, just joking, all right? Here's the deal. Well, saying stuff, and they're heckling. It's like me preaching, and you guys who are lost in this room heckling me. God is crazy. Don't listen to him, this Jesus you're talking about. He's not, he's just a man. Where is he today? That's what he's probably saying. But, everybody say that word with me, but. Saul, who was also called Paul, sound a little bit more manly than Elymas, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil." Okay, Hawaiians. Our culture, we know what scrapping is all about, okay? All right, most pastors probably won't preach in their church like this, but we're from this context, so right? You guys know us Hawaiians? We come up together, what's up, Hawaiian? What? Come on, brother! I'm right here, bro! Is that just me? You know what I'm talking about? No, I'm doing PG style, you know? Every other word would be an F-bomb on that one, right? Right? Now we got the F-bomb, the faith bomb, right? In Jesus' name, right? What? Come on! What are you doing? Right here, bro! Bro, what you want, bro? Come on! You guys all know, because you guys all been a part of this, huh? Come on, right? That's it. But when we look at this text, this is what it's really saying. It's this, that Paul was self-controlled. And Paul did this. Elymas, you son of the devil. Right? You brother of all unrighteousness. Right? Also, I was like, oh, we're with a puncher in it, you know? But here's the deal. The reality is, when Jesus is with us, all right? And when in the name of Jesus we confront Satan's people, what the devil does, the instigator, he runs away from the situation and he leaves his people right there. But here's the grace of it. Elymas is about to be exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." And here's the power of Jesus in the gospel. Immediately, the devil was blind. Listen to me, guys, ladies. Cakeys, there's only two parts in this story. God's family or Satan's children. You cannot be in between. You either follow Christ or you follow Satan. You cannot be both. You cannot be in between. All right? I will say this. If you're not following Jesus and you say you're in between, you over here to the left with Satan. Turn from your sins. Turn from your wickedness. Turn from living a lie. Turn from living in your filth. Because, listen to me, though this brother is blind physically, it could be that you have been so caught up in sin for so long that you are blind spiritually right now in this room, and you're just like Elymas. But I thank that God doesn't waste anything. Here's a question, and really a statement more than a question, that you guys need to understand. You do not mess with God's anointed. This is why there is elders and pastors in the church. You got to pray for us. You have to respect us. At the same way, pastors and leaders, we have to submit to Jesus. We have to love our congregation. We have to love those who call me and Marcus Kahu. We have to love them. And we have to love them not conditionally, unconditionally. That's the hard part. Is Jesus worth it? Is Jesus worth it? Reality, truth. Here you go. The anointing of God does not stir us away from conflict. Rather, it allows us to stand firm and confront the darkness. Can I get a witness there, right? 1 John 2 says this, "But the anointing that you received from Jesus abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him." I'm not saying that you can't not learn from each other, but ultimately, our source of truth is what God says and not what my opinion says. Are you with me? So this is the result. Here's my closing verse. Here's the result. Verse 12 says this. Because of what happened to Elymas. Verse 12 says this. Then the proconsul, say that word with me, believed. That's what God does. God does things like blind people after this heckling altercation so that people would see the power of God on display. You want to mess with God's anointed? You want to mess with God's children? You want to mess with God's Ohana Elymas? Here is your result. Blind. Let alone, this is what I got to believe. The people that Elymas asked for help to guide his hand was probably what? Christians. Believers. You see how it works? The proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teachings of the Lord. Are you with me? It says the teaching of the Lord. He wasn't astonished by Elymas' blindness. He was astonished by what? The word of God. Listen to me. If you guys get rescued by Christ this year, it's not going to be because of the great music that goes on in this church. It's not going to be because of all the blessings and the financial ups that's going on in this church or in your life. It's because of the word of the living God, Yahweh. Are you with me? That's the only way we can understand it. Some of you have gone through seasons of pain and torture, of finances and relationships and all that. Why? Because God has to strip you of yourself to give you more of Him. And until your heart looks like Him, you will never experience the freedom we have in the Lord Jesus. Never. This will change how you parent. This will change how you minister. This will change how you are active in God's church. This will change how you live on mission. Why? Because God has not saved you to store the message of Christ. God has saved you to spread the message of Christ. That the church that gathers today is the church that scatters tomorrow to Pohoa, to Kaumana, to Papaiko, to Keoka, to Panaeva, to the islands of the sea. Why? Because what God does in us, He does through us, so people like Elymas and the proconsul can know His name by His Spirit. That's the reality. Okay, I'll preach. Here's the deal. Then where do we go from here? What does that look like? I've seen the verse-by-verse context. I see what's going on right now. What does this look like for us, Ohana Church? I'm glad you asked. All right, here's two action steps. Okay, you guys ready? Say, I'm ready. The first action step is this. Here's a personal action step. Invite people to your Thanksgiving meal. We have college students in our church that's from the mainland. Many of them will not be a part of anything because they don't have family here. Well, they have family today. Can I get a witness, all right? Invite them to be a part of your meal, your Thanksgiving meal. Invite them to be a part of your day together for Thanksgiving. Here's a church action step for all of us. You guys ready? Invite people to be a part of our Christmas series. Say that with me. One, two, three. Invite people to be a part of our Christmas series. Here's the deal. Here's the deal, okay? We always get ready for Christmas Sunday, right? Christmas Sunday is good. How about we ask God to not wait till Christmas Sunday? Let's start it from the beginning. So the first Sunday of December, we're kicking off a new series called this, All I Want for Christmas. Okay? All I Want for Christmas. And what this is going to be about, this is really going to be about stewardship. As we move into 2017, things are happening where we have to manage God's resources in our church and in our personal lives. So every week, we're going to talk about things that addresses financial stewardship. Why did we do it this way? Besides of 2017, the month of Christmas is when most Christians waste all their money for the wrong reasons. Listen to me. As much as I love last year and how you guys lavished my two new adopted boys with gifts, by God's Spirit, I'm asking everyone in this room, don't give them nothing this year. My family is trying to teach our boys the true meaning of Christmas this year. So please do not give my children anything. All right? Are we on the same page? You guys can honey them. If you guys like give candy and all that, that's fine. But don't give them wrapped gifts. Because I don't want our children to be raised like me and the generation. I want them to know that Christmas is bigger than just the Western Americanized process. Are you with me? Here's the deal. But this is what I would say. Here's the goal. Say with me, I want to know the goal. Well, that people would want Jesus for Christmas. No, for real. This is why we're moving to a new location. Because we feel that that location can answer this series. Now, am I against all the Christmas worship? No, I'm not against that, but for this year. We want our children to understand that it's not so much of what you get, but it's how you live. Are we on the same page with that? So here's some things we're going to talk about. Here's the next slide. Week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4 talks about crucial things. Number 1, we're going to talk about the heart of Christmas. Week 2, we're going to talk about the hurt of Christmas. Some of us don't have parents like me anymore, so it hurts. Christmas was a big deal for us. Not only that, financially, I mean, we go all out in Christmas, right? So the pocket's empty, so the heart's sore sometimes, right? Number 3, the highlight of Christmas, right? There is a highlight in Christmas. It's the gospel, it's Christ. But lastly, we have a hope of Christmas. It's Jesus. Are you with me? It's Jesus. So don't wait till Christmas Sunday to invite people to Jesus. Let's use this whole series to invite people to the beauty of Christ. Are you with me? Say amen.